Welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast, where we help break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. Some of the content may be graphic or triggering, but our goal is to help provide healing, hope, and education to the community. Hello, and welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sydney Rashidzada, along with Miss April Rutledge. Say hello, April.
Hello, Sydney.
I would like to start off just by saying that we're just coming off of a really fantastic event from Kids Joining Eternity, their annual wine pull fundraiser, which it's annual, but it's been in hiatus for a few years due to COVID. So it was really nice to have that event again. And just wanted to take some time. Kids Joining Eternity wanted to thank their title sponsor, the Bank of Oklahoma, for all of their support. And also our table sponsors. We had some great table sponsors. We had Perry Dunn, QS Culinary, MidFirst, Mabry Bank, Lincoln Financial, Langley Management, AC Owen Construction, Oklahoma Family Network, Regent Bank, Hogan Taylor, and Right Way Auto Sales. A lot of great sponsors this year to support Kids Joining Eternity. And we just want to say a big, big thank you to them for all that they do for us. It helps us really spread our message, and it helps a lot of people. So our deepest thank yous for that. And it was a great event. If you did not get to come this year, we hope you'll make it in another year, because it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I got to hang out with one of our guests this evening, April. This is a kind of another installation of a Meet the Board, a Meet the KJE Board. And I speak of the fabulous Jeff McElroy, and he's here with his lovely wife, Jennifer, this evening. So welcome, Jeff and Jennifer McElroy. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And you know, it's so great. Jeff is a member of the board, and Jennifer, you also have volunteered and reached out to new moms to help introduce them to Kids Joining Eternity. So it really is a family affair for you guys. And of course, you know, you wouldn't be involved or as involved unless you have a direct link to what Kids Joining Eternity is about. And with that, we would love it if you would share your story, because that's what we like to do on this podcast, share stories so that everyone can hear them and know that they're not alone. And with that, if you guys would, we'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, well, I'll get us started, and I think we'll just kind of, we'll kind of each share a little bit about the story. Just as a little bit of a background, we have three children, ages 19, almost 16, and almost 15. Our son Gabriel would be
seven
this December. And so we were a little bit later in life when we found out that Jennifer was pregnant again. And even though it kind of caught us by surprise, with our faith, we became okay with it, and started to prepare for what God had in store for us late in life as older parents. And so we prepared accordingly. And I think it was probably a few months into the pregnancy when, you know, due to Jennifer's age, we were already designated for a high risk doctor. So we kind of anticipated there was going to be potential for a little bit of a tenuous pregnancy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some things that you never forget, and I'll never forget. I think it was for one reason or another, I wasn't able to make it to one of the doctor's appointments, and I was at work, and Jennifer called me, and, you know, we don't talk a lot during the day. She teaches school, and so that's a challenge for her. And so I knew getting a phone call during the day was not common. And so I took that phone call, and I could just tell in her voice that there was something that wasn't quite right. And she explained to me that the doctor had told her that there was going to be some complications. And although not totally unsurprising, we started to kind of unpack what that was. And even though we initially thought it was one thing, we quickly found out that it was something else. And what that ultimately was was a chromosomal abnormality called trisomy 18. It's not very common. There's only a few thousand cases a year. And I'll let you kind of talk about what that is and what that was like for you that day.
So trisomy means you have three copies of the 18th chromosome instead of two. And it's called Edwards syndrome. So I can remember the day that I got that phone call. And I mean, again, I had three healthy pregnancies and that just wasn't on my radar. And all I remember the doctor saying was just, I'm sorry. And I hung up and I Googled that trisomy 18. I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. And it just, I mean, reading about it was not good.
No.
You know, a lot of the babies don't make it, even full term. And if they do, it's just they don't last long.
Yeah.
There's very few out there that are still alive past maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the mortality rate is usually around, rarely do they make it past age three, usually age one. So we knew we were probably going to be parents of a special needs child, a severely special needs child, for a while. And actually before we kind of got that firm diagnosis, and you know, with this diagnosis, it was just a series of meetings with a high-risk doctor, and sometimes it was like two steps forward, one step back, and they couldn't for sure. They told us that's what it was, but without doing the, I always mess this up, the
amniocentesis.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be 100% positive, but they told us. And the range of outcomes for trisomy 18 babies is pretty wide. Most of the complications have to do with the heart, and that's what Gabriel had, were primarily heart issues. But just, you know, week after week and month after month of doctor's visits where you walk out and you just feel puzzled. You feel like, okay, should we have hope or should we not? Because that, I don't, you know, just a lot of misunderstanding and, it was just a challenge, for me to try to get my head around what our life was going to look like, you know, in the coming weeks and months.
We just had to, I mean, rely on our faith. And that's, I mean, we did choose hope. That there was a purpose in this and God had a plan for us. And that's what got us through every time. During the ultrasounds, you know, it wasn't like, oh, he has all these markers and, you know, he's missing organs. It was very, I don't know. It was kind of a roller coaster. I mean, they would say, well, he doesn't have a lot of the life-threatening markers of trisomy 18. And we see a few heart defects, but they can be fixable with surgery once he's born. So as long as he's in your womb, he's okay. And then we'll deal with it when he comes out.
How far, sorry for interrupting, but how far along were you into your pregnancy when you got the initial news?
Pretty early.
Yeah.
Like,
17 weeks,
maybe 3 months, three and a half months.
Which makes sense since you said you were an older mom. They really do watch you closer. So yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we were just kind of okay, you know, and as the months went on, it was like Jeff said, are we going to bring home a special needs baby or are we going to plan a funeral? We don't know. But, you know, we couldn't deal with that every day. I mean, we just continued to pray and continued to just know that he had a plan. And, you know, honestly, when he was born, I really did feel like, okay, he's born. He came out. He came out a little early. It was just a normal, you know, my water broke and we're headed to the hospital. had to end up having a C-section. I'd never had one before. And so it was just leading up to it, it was very stressful because we weren't planning on that. And then he was born and we got to be with him for 45 minutes. And then the nurse came over and said, he stopped breathing. So, that was hard.
It all happened so fast. And you know, it really happened so fast because when we got to the hospital, there was risk for Jennifer too. And so we all of a sudden found ourselves facing an increasingly complicated situation where they came in and said, we're not going to give you a choice. We're going to have to do the C-section. It's as much about, you know, with all due respect to your child, it's as much about you. And so, you know, to compound an already less than desirable situation, we had to, well, the decision was kind of made for us, but to do that. And so, like Jennifer said, next thing you know, we're in the delivery room, and it just literally flashes so quickly. But like she said, we did get to spend that little time with him. I mean, we have pictures of him, of me holding him, of us holding him. And obviously we treasure those to this day. And so, and that really kind of started, I think the next few days in the hospital were just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just a numbness that I don't wish on anybody. I remember it, but it's when the people say you had an out-of-body experience, I kind of know what they mean. I mean, it's literally, you're there, you're part of it, but your feelings are just so numb. Mm-hmm. But I will say that that's the point where we started showing, God started showing us and sort of putting people on our path very quickly, which ultimately led to KJ. You know, I'll get to that in a minute, but just a series of people, whether it's the head, what is Allison? She's
so the nurse that came into, there's nurses that come in to deal with these situations. Mm-hmm. And I had never met her, but she was a Crossings mom. So she went to the same, her son went to the same school as our kids. And, you know, she introduced herself and she said, I'm here for you. She was her day off and they called her in and, wow. I mean, she was just an angel. I mean, just held our hand through everything. Cause I mean, things that we didn't even know what we were supposed to do or feel or think about. I mean, she just, here you go. This is what just leading us. And that was just a godsend.
And just a series of those little markers that we started to see. Our son that's going to be our middle son, his birthday is, Gabriel's birthday was December 30th and Gavin's birthday is January 3rd. And so in the midst of this, we were having to have a birthday party that was already planned. And I'll never forget, just, you know, some things you just never forget. And I was driving around getting a birthday cake in a numb state. And a friend of ours reached out and said, I know this might sound strange, but there's an organization that takes pictures, postmortem photos of children, and we would love to put you in contact with them. It sounds weird, but we think you'll treasure it. And I get back to the hospital, and I go upstairs, and I'm about ready to tell Jennifer what this person had texted me. And literally one of the nurses had just told her the exact same.
Wow.
Gave her the exact same proposition and said, you know, I think this is something you should look at. And so we did it, and talk about something that we treasure. I mean, we used it for his announcement as service. We've used it multiple times. And, you know, again, there's just those little things that we can now look back on and sort of look back on. It took us a while of things that allowed us to kind of start to recover a little bit. It kind of gave us, or gave me, a little bit of faith in the goodness of what people can do. And I think that's the hope that KJE brings to people, is just showing up and being present when people need you to be there. And sometimes you won't ever know. They may never say thank you. They may they may not even acknowledge sometimes. And I don't know that we always did, because you're in such a state of numbness, but we've tried to go back and tell those people that were there for us in those times, how much that it meant to us. And, you know, I think in our situation, everything happened so quickly. I think we struggled for a while with, did we do everything possible? You know, as Jennifer said, we had so many high risk doctor's appointments. We had so much information. We thought we kind of were expecting what was going to happen, but in a flash, it's over. And I think, you know, I know we struggled for a while with, you know, did we do everything we could have done? And, that took a while to kind of get through, and that made the healing process, I think, for us take a little while, you know, to try to find out what good was going to come from this. And I think that's something that we had to learn, and that now as a member of KJE that I can impart to other people, is your journey is your journey. Mm-hmm. And your healing process happens how it needs to happen for you. We're happy to provide an organization and a support system that can meet you where you are, wherever that is. You know, our mom's walking groups, if you just need to walk and be with somebody else and don't talk a lot that's been through that, we can do that. If you want to have someone like Jennifer reach out to you because you're hurting, we can do that too. And so, you know, we had no idea that's what KJ was going to mean to us. But in hindsight, we can see the handiwork, you know, several years later. So, you know, that's kind of the,
how old would Gabriel be today?
He would be 6 and almost 7.
So his birthday is coming up.
Yes.
Which
December 30th.
Yeah. It's coming up. Do you guys do anything in particular to celebrate the day? I know for me, for Mina, the day is hard, but I don't have any real particular, it's funny, I don't have any really, any significant rituals around it. I don't know why. I don't. Do you guys do anything, or?
Well, it's funny, because at the beginning, the first couple years, it was like, okay, what did we do?
We did a balloon.
And I don't know, it just didn't feel, I mean, going forward, it just, I don't know, it didn't feel right. You know,
yeah,
it's
so different.
I would get all these ideas, you know, I do this. And, you know, this is just so personal. It has to work for you and your family. I mean, what's going to work for someone else may not work for you.
I always feel bad about it. Like, I feel pressure around it. Like, I need to have this grand, big gesture.
Exactly.
And that's why I feel like somehow I'm falling short, and you're not falling short. But I just, you know, I'm always curious to know if, and that makes me feel good, because I know that I'm not alone, and that it's a personal day for me and my family. Yeah. And yeah.
We did, all three of our children did get baptized on his birthday. So we thought that was
that's a great homage.
That's
great.
But no, we don't really do.
No, it's never been the same thing 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. I will say that a couple of years ago, so one of the things that one of the nurses that we became friends with, I mean, she just went above and beyond. We've got so many things. We've got a Christmas tree ornament with his, you know, his feet prints on there. We've got a baby box. And it took us a couple of years, but 1 year, for some reason, Jennifer decided to get the box out on his birthday. And we just looked through all the photos and just literally everything that we still have that kind of reminds us of him. And we just had a good cry, and the kids were involved, and they got to see us, you know, kind of go through those emotions again. And that was really good too. I will go back and say something that has really impacted me that I struggled with for a while was, I don't know that I guess it's not really survivor's guilt, but I got to a point where after I kind of got through the haze of the first, I would say, couple of months, And I can't imagine what it was like for Jennifer to go back to the classroom. But going back to work and facing people, even though everyone that in my work was immensely supportive, it just took a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to not be okay. And for people to know that you shouldn't be expected just to go right back into the ranks. And sure, at some point you have to move on. And I did that. And then I got to a point where, and I've shared this with Jennifer, I got to a point where I almost felt bad because I didn't feel like I was grieving him enough. Felt like I had moved on. I moved on to the point where I wasn't sad every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably didn't stop and think about him as much. And so I started to develop a little, probably delayed guilt for not, I feel like, continuously grieving him. And so I would just caution anyone listening to this that, you know, you have to be on guard that sometimes when you think you're about done with the grieving, it can kind of come back.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It just means that maybe you've just not kind of covered your tracks, and maybe there's some still things that you need to process. And so, I will say, the first to admit, we went to see a counselor, not because there was any issues between Jennifer and myself, and I kind of probably speaking to the men out there as much as anybody, mm-hmm. It was a great help.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, we're going to get in a room with a lady that doesn't know us and she's going to ask us questions. And I was, you know, I went and I probably, you know, I probably was reticent to do it. But man, some things came out in that meeting that Jennifer exposed how she was feeling that she just hadn't told me. And I don't know why she hadn't told me, but it was okay. It just wasn't the right time before then to tell me. So I think the grieving process is, like Jennifer said, so personal. It's so individual. Even within, and I say that about the delayed grief because I don't think she was going through it at the same time I was going through it. So we would definitely grieve at different paces,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. And that's just really okay.
Absolutely. I mean, that was what I was going to ask about. You know, to have a couple on the podcast is really great because you can kind of hear both perspectives at the same time. Jennifer, do you feel like, from your perspective, do you feel like your grieving was, did you see the differences in it? What was that like for you? Because I know Omar and I, my husband and I have talked about, and they are totally different. Like you said, Jeff, Omar had to go back to work and I didn't at the time. And, he really had to just, you know, push forward and I didn't have to. So it was a different experience. What are your thoughts about how you guys grieved together, Jennifer?
I'll be honest with you. It was probably a good year and I don't remember a whole lot. I don't remember my kids' birthdays. I don't remember, I mean, it's just a world. We went through the motions, but I really didn't have a lot of emotion in all of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess that's what you have to go through. And, you know, we would talk about it. And yes, that counselor did help. You know, she said things like, does he have a room? Does he have a little area in the house for, you know, things like that, just to,
yeah.
How are you going to remember him? Things that we just needed to kind of think about. But we did make a point to talk to each other, like kind of check in with each other. How are you feeling? How are you doing? And just talk about it. Just talk about, you know, and cry together.
That's, I think, the best thing you can do, right, April? I mean... to have that connection with your partner, which, you know, sometimes you have it, sometimes you maybe don't. And I mean, it's wonderful to see you guys so close and united because, as you know, these things destroy families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they will just, they'll kill it. So it's really important to stay talking to each other and to keep.
And I think we were aware of that.
I think
we were conscious enough that you hear stories. And so I think even in the moment, I think we were at least aware of it enough to say, let's not let that happen.
Absolutely.
And so it's okay to tell me today's not the day, I can't talk today, but I'll talk to you later. But let's don't shut each other out. And it's okay to come home and say today sucked and I heard a song on the radio or something happened or, you know, there were all kinds of triggers for the longest time. And they can be weird triggers, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Jennifer sent me home from the hospital, the next night, because I just needed a break. We were just all so drained. And, I came home with my oldest son to watch the OU football game. I can't tell you. And if anybody knows me, they know I'm a diehard, OU. Can't remember one thing. My parents were here and we just sat there and just, I can't remember anything. But I want to kind of, you know, I want to focus a little bit, if it's okay, on, so during the kind of the aftermath of that, obviously we got through the service. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever been through. But what I will say is, I still get a little bit choked up. Looking at the end of that service, there were some things that happened at that service that still mean so much to us today. When we walked into the chapel where his service was, I can still remember the first person in the back row. There's one of the dads on my son's baseball team. And it's just almost like you focus on something. They tell you just to focus on somebody, you can get down the aisle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I look up and my son's entire basketball team is down in front wearing their, you know, their team jerseys, and they came for him. I mean, just we saw all these little things. And then, you know, the receiving line. I didn't think we were ever going to make it through that receiving line. And you start to look down the line of those people that were there that showed up for you. And there were some people that drove hours that were, I thought, peripheral friends. I mean, there were sometimes just coworkers. And, you know, I made it a point to go back to those people at some point and just say, you have no idea what just seeing you there that day meant for us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the healing sometimes happens in reverse. So there's a guy that I worked with, and he and his wife showed up. And I thought, oh, that's nice. They just hadn't seen them and hadn't worked with him in 10 years. But that's nice. They read it in the paper. I thought somehow they knew. Well, he asked me to go to lunch a couple months later, and we went to lunch. And it was at lunch that he told me that he lost not one but two children to the same rare, I think it was a brain, it was something. And, I mean, it had been years, and he was able to share his story with me. And so, you know, you just never know if you make yourself available to people, you know, showing up for you, you never know what can come from it. And there just started to be more and more people. You know, there's a picture in our house of Gabriel, and it's in a nice, neat frame. And it was someone that Jennifer had met. I don't know how you even met her, Natalie, I think.
Just through a friend. Somebody told me about her, and she had had the same loss of a trisomy 18 baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how people get put into your orbit when something like this happens, and or things that you didn't know about people, like your coworker, like, you know, had no idea that they had been through this. I mean, it's incredible how many times those moments happen, and it really there's some there's comfort in it. I mean, it's,
well, I'll share one more, maybe just one more. But our church has on Monday night, it's called Care Series, and it's just, they have it's a fairly large church, but they have multiple avenues for people that are struggling with any kind of grief. It can be an addiction, it can be, so they have a 12-step that night, they have grief counseling, but one of them was child loss bereavement. And I don't remember how many months it was after that, but we decided to go. And we go up to the church we go to now, and we're trying to find the room. And it was pretty soon that we figured out where the room was the room where all the family gathered before his service.
Oh.
So it was like, oh no, can we go back in that room?
Yeah.
Well, we did. We went in that room, and there was a total of four people in that room that night. Jennifer, myself, and two ladies. And they were just as sweet as they could be, and it was only going to be the four of us, so there was no taking turns sharing. It was us. And before they asked us to share, one of the moms said, if it's okay with you, I'll tell you my story. And she starts telling her story, and we all both started crying because one of the moms, she had a trisomy 18 baby.
Wow.
And it's just so rare that, I mean, we looked at each other like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, this is happening for a reason. And, you know, fast forward a few years, our middle son and her oldest son, they're best friends. They play on the same teams together. They go to the same school together. They're great friends. And just, you know, we have to look at that, those things, and say, that all is an outflow of us being able to step out there and just accept the grief and deal with it. And good things came from that. And, you know, my involvement with KJE kind of started about that same time. So obviously KJE's founders, JB and Melanie Edwards, we've known them for a long, long time. And we would go periods without seeing them quite as much, but you know, they were some of the first people that stepped up to the plate. And especially for me, JB, as a fellow guy, I remember him just reaching out and saying, hey, you want to go to lunch? And I knew exactly what he meant by, do you want to go to lunch?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, heck yeah, I want to go to lunch.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just sitting there talking and having him share and having two guys sit at a restaurant at Classic Curve, tearing up, knowing that it was okay to do that, meant a lot to me. And so just seeing their willingness to be involved and help us through that grief really helped. And then my formal introduction was literally a few years ago at our company Christmas party. JB was there, and it was kind of serendipitous. I walked up to him and said, hey brother, how you doing? And he said, man, this is not a coincidence. Melanie and I have been talking about reaching out, and we could use another guy on the board. And we would like to have you come over and sit with the board and see if it's something you'd be interested in. And of course, for me, the answer was absolutely. And so, you know, just, I think my message is a consistency message of just being open to letting people show up in your life when you're going through this. They don't know what to say, because we felt it. We knew people didn't know what to say. It's okay. It's just your presence, being there, showing up means something. Jennifer's sister stayed with us. They live up in Iowa, and she stayed for about a week afterwards. I don't know that I said 10 words to her. And she was there.
But she was there, and that's what you remember, you know.
And the gravity of that has never escaped me. And so,
because you're also going to lose people. People are going to just kind of turn away because it's not because that they don't love you. They just are like, oh, I don't. This is awkward and weird. And
that's exactly that I wish you could see, the listeners could see your facial expression, because it's like a visceral, like, I can't emotionally handle this, and I feel like I'm going to be inept as a friend, so I would just ghost you and step away. That has happened.
It happens.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I was angry. I was angry at a lot of people for a while for that reason. And then over the years, I'm like, you know what? I get it. Like, this is a hard thing, and it doesn't mean they don't love us. It just means they are not emotionally equipped. They can't handle it, and that's okay. But I feel so thankful that you guys came on the podcast and shared your story. It's so awesome to hear it, and I've loved getting to know you, Jeff, and your lovely wife, and thank you so much for being being there for people, because like you said, that's the most important thing, is your presence, being there, being open. That means everything. So thank you for that. I just want to close by saying that Kids Joining Eternity has another great event coming up. Grace's Christmas Gift, Pictures with Santa, a family who is honoring their child's loss by hosting an event. It is December 11th at 2:30 p.m. at the Colcord Hotel, and it's a really sweet time. It's free Santa pics. And from the word on the street is that this Santa is the Santa. I mean, there are some Santas, but this is the Santa. And there's some ornament making for the kids and milk and cookies, the whole nine. It's festive, okay? So, again, this is a great opportunity for families to meet each other and to bring your living children to go, and also just mementos that you have of your baby. April, I know you've got your bears that maybe could use a Santa, a picture with Santa. Because these are the things that we do. And so I hope that everybody can attend that event, and it's free. And you can always check the Kids Joining Eternity Facebook or Instagram for that. And the website, of course, has it. But thank you so much, Jeff and Jennifer, for coming on the podcast. We've loved spending time with you.
Thank you
Absolutely.
Both.
Thank you guys.
This is April and Sydney for the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. Thank you for helping us to break the silence surrounding stillbirth, miscarriage, and infant loss. If you or someone you know is experiencing a loss, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org for resources and support.
Thank you for listening to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. For more information, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org.